Press the button, asshole.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Snacks Bags, coming at you live from Madison Square Garden.
We're almost 30 minutes earlier than normal, despite us both getting off work several hours early.
Yeah, it'd be like this sometimes.
It was a nice day today, so I said my head hurt, and I went for a three-hour walk with my dog.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
I got to tell you about this embarrassing thing that happened to
me. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
So, I was in the grocery store last weekend.
As one does.
And I was carrying around one of those big gallon jugs of water. No, I'm sorry, not gallon. I'm talking like, not the big one. I don't know how many gallons they are because fucking whatever. Not the big ones. One of the half ones.
Like 2.5 gallon.
Yeah, let me look. All I know.
Why are you buying water?
Big like gallon water. So I fucking was carrying it, and I had it up on. Just tell me how much is in it, bitch. You son of, like a water cooler.
That's a 5 gallon.
Yeah, the bit. Okay, they are. I didn't know if they were five gallons or not.
The water cooler ones are 5. Yeah.
So it was the smaller one. I think it's like a 3 gallon. And I had it on my shoulder and I was carrying it. And then I went to grab the handle to carry it down on my side, and I missed the handle and it fell off my shoulder and bursts everywhere. I was like,
5 gallons.
I was like, and then like a worker came around, and then when it hit the ground, someone was like, oh shit. And I was like, God damn it. And then employee came around the corner and was like, oh, okay, it's just water. I thought it was wine. I was about to have you arrested. And I was like, yeah, it's just water. It's cool.
It's just water. Do you have to buy it?
Well, yeah, obviously.
You did?
Yeah. You gotta be a upstanding citizen. But it was very embarrassing.
That's so fucking funny. Dude, that would be like a huge mess.
Yeah.
Like five gallons and cover a fucking aisle.
Yeah. And the guy was like, dude, I'm so sorry. He was like, nah, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I'm going to go get something to clean it up.
If anything, you kind of cleaned up that floor.
Yeah, right? I just preemptively did their job for them. Now all they have to do is mop. And it's already wet and wild and ready to be mopped.
For sure.
Out here doing the Lord's work, you know what I'm saying?
We talked about this. I was looking at, I'm always keeping an eye on Craigslist for like just gigs. I want if someone would pay me some cash to get dirty for 4 to 6 hours, I'll do it. You know what I mean? So I saw this request go out for someone. They were looking for someone to do typing for them.
Yeah.
And they were like pretty vague, and I was like, all right, I got an impression just from the post that it was an old person, especially because Craigslist is hugely old people.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I reach out, and this guy is all about it. He's stoked. I'm trying to find the email if I can. Let's see. He's all about it. So then I call him. Oh, here it is. I found it. So he said that he's like, I do a lot of legal typing that requires a person to be present in order to do all the changes right away. Where are you from? And if you like, I deleted the library. That makes you feel better. A lot of weirdo or pre-just somebody that needs help with type tool to be doing stupid stuff. I need help. And if you are interested, I really appreciate your help. Bless and thank you, Jimmy.
Really? Really like, reads like an old person.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, you have a stroke while you're writing that?
So I ask him, I was like, okay, what do you mean? Trying to understand what you want from me. I don't know what you're talking about with the library. He said, I'm 80 years old. I don't have a lot of money. I could pay you what money I do have. I do a lot of legal writing, as you will see, and spiritual writing, because I'm trying to start my own spiritual church.
Okay.
Not a physical church, because God is spiritual and physical. Okay. I need help typing letters and other legal documents. And yes, we can meet at the library. I was like, I wasn't
asking you to do that.
That will make you feel comparable. I like you. I think you're a stand-up person, and I just hope that you have a good heart and agenda. Saying I struggle a lot because several years ago a stroke and have to rely on the kindness of others to get by. If you're interested in helping me, as I said, I'll pay you some money that I have, and we'll sit down and talk at the library and make all the sense in the world to you. So, thank you for reaching out to me, as God knows I need help, and you help me. I promise I'll do everything in my power to help you financially. Please let me know if you want to help a struggling human being. God bless you, my beautiful friend, and I'll wait to hear back from you. You could call me and we could talk.
Reads,
and you see that what I said is very real.
Reads like a scam email. Like, he's like, I was like, beautiful human being.
Dude, I was like, okay, I gotta talk to this dude on the phone. I gotta see what's next. Because if it is a scam, I'm like, yeah, scams, I'm always intrigued when I find a new scam. And because I'm like, how are you gonna try to get money from me?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, how do you make money in this? Because I'm looking for the scam that I could do to make money off of.
Exactly.
And so I call this dude and he's talking forever, and he's talking about how he wants to spread the word of God, and how he wants to get on Fox News, and then he was working on suing the government for giving money to Israel when we have homeless people.
Good.
I was like,
good, there you go.
I'm like, I don't quite understand how that would work.
Yeah, but hey, man,
and so
you're gonna pay me.
So he's like, I want to meet up before we do anything like that. I'm like, oh my God, sure, Jesus Christ, this is a lot. So
yeah,
we agree to meet at Panera, and I did go and meet him. I was like, I gotta see what this is like. If there was some typing I could do for some cash, fuck it, I'd do it. But So one thing, he's 80 years old. He brought his 18-year-old son.
Nice.
18-year-old son.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Okay,
weird.
Buddy.
He mentioned several times that he had a son before that had died that was like, he all but said was more important to him. Like,
naturally.
He kept emphasizing how much it mattered that kid died. And I was like, well, what about?
What about the one you got here?
So that child apparently suffered from autism, but the guy was horrible and dismissive about it. And he was like, he was saying at one point that he was like afraid to travel like specifically to Kansas, because that's where he found out I was from. Because he's like, because my kid's always doing like weird shit.
Yeah, what do you mean?
And he's like, and then people, you know, that means they'll get him, and then they can get me. I'm like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah, what are you talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? And basically, the guy was just such an insane bullshitter. Like, he was talking so much. He said so many words. I actually brought a journal and wrote down some of the things he said because it made him nervous, and I thought it was really funny.
That's funny.
And because when people bullshit, so I brought it because in case we were actually going to talk about like the thing that I might like the typing,
yeah,
talking
yeah.
about doing that. Because so I could write down details, planning, whatever. Because I didn't want to type it on my phone.
Yeah.
So he said that he called himself a great legal mind. He was not a lawyer. He said he owned a strip club.
All right.
He did not explain why he believed himself to be a great legal mind.
A great legal mind. I think in legalities, okay?
And he like said that he opened lawsuits all the time, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking
I don't think
about.
That means you're a great legal mind.
He said filing suits and affidavits, and he said he wanted to file one for his son. He did not explain why. He had lived in Kansas City, Missouri, which I thought was crazy. So he was so basically this conversation wanders all over the place. And he finds out my past because he asked me a lot of questions, and he was fascinated that I like worked in music and had other jobs and did stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you're really wasting your potential. And I was like, my brother in Christ, I'm an engineer.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I was like, my situation's perfect.
Yeah. I'm great.
I love my job.
I'm
yeah.
Awesome.
Like, and I was like, you don't know shit about me, bitch. Like, yeah. Oh, it made me so mad that he said that. And he was like, you know what you need to do is run a club. And he's like, yeah, you start running a club, only work 4 nights a week, I'll get you $1,000 a week. I'm like, that's less money than
right.
You old man, yeah. You don't understand.
So out of touch.
And he was talking like he would make money for it somehow.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. He knows all these people, blah, blah, blah. But he was living off Social Security. He's living off of 12 grand a year. And I'm like, for you to have all these resources and all these contacts, and you could, I guess, put me in charge of a club you're claiming, then why are you so poor? What
you should be balling a little bit more.
Yeah, none of this isn't really adding up.
Yeah, the math ain't mathing.
And he wanted me to run a club for him. He'd get Nate Hyman, the fucking local real estate legend, to just buy me a house. I was like, nice. Dude, what are you talking
nice.
About? What the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, you couldn't write if you were going to meet other people. And I was like, I know. I know. And he said that like maybe 20 times. Like he's the kind of person to repeat himself a lot. And I hate people. Yeah, I hate it. Listening to people talk is already so hard for me. And if you're just saying the same shit over and over, I'm like, oh my God,
yeah.
You're killing me. And then we ended up leaving, and I was like, so this guy wants me to run a club, and on the phone he told me he wanted me to share his church. And then when we met in person, we didn't talk about the church or typing at all.
Nice.
I was like, what the fuck are you? I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this guy doing?
You're just conning people to talk to you. Like, you know, they got
websites
for that. Dude,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I was thinking, for real.
Get on Grindr.
He said that he knew John Gotti, nice. the gangster.
Yeah.
He knew Joe Biden. And he was like, oh, I have an idea. I'll write a letter to Joe Biden. I was like, I mean,
you could. You could write a letter to Joe Biden.
I was like, I don't think you exactly have Joe Biden's ear.
Yeah,
he's writing a letter to the White House, bro.
I'm like, you know, everyone can do that, right? Like, that's a public thing you can do.
So then he texted me later after, and I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. I have no idea what this guy thinks that we're going to do now.
Yeah.
So he said he did, and this was later that night. What time did this text come in? 11:38 that night. And he said, I did talk to some people that I think would be interested in your services with respect to managing a nightclub. And then he mentioned, then he was like, and I told them how you were writing everything down, and they thought it was very strange. And then he goes on and on and on.
Man.
Dude, look at this text. Look at this text.
Damn.
Look at this.
Jesus fucking
look
Christ.
At this
That's
text,
insane.
Dude.
That's insane.
And he's like over and over mentioning all this shit, like the same stuff over and over. And I'm like, holy shit. And he was talking about like the specifics about like this jazz club, what the fuck ever. Like, it was so much. I still haven't even read the whole thing.
That's,
every time
yeah,
I'm
that
like,
shit is like
too
a novel.
Much.
This That's is a insane. Novel.
And he's like kept fucking just going on and on about the journal, and I was like, I love how uncomfortable it made him.
Dude,
it was
yeah.
so fucking funny. Because people who lie all the time hate accountability.
Yeah,
and that's like he's just a bullshitter. All he wants to hear is his fucking voice.
He's
just saying this shit just that sounds like makes him cool.
And he wants people to be impressed by him, so.
So then he was like so I was like, I don't want to meet people to manage a nightclub. Maybe we could get into something like that if I get to know you for a while. I just wanted to do some easy work for the typing. And then he goes, okay, I just thought you wanted to pay off your student loan. And I was like, oh my God,
dude,
you little bitch.
Get the fuck out of here.
And then he's like, I thought it would have been a good opportunity for you to pay off your debt with your student loan. You didn't have to do it forever. Well, if you're not interested, I said I was just let him know that you're not. And we'll just stay to the typing. If you like, just let me know. And I was like, dude, I have an engineering degree with a career and plans and benefits that I'm good. I don't need whatever the fuck you're offering me. And he responds with K.
Oh,
after,
there
oh
it is.
My God.
There it is.
And I've not heard from him since. And I probably never will again.
Yeah,
and I was like, dude, what a waste of time. So annoying.
Dude,
just
for
such
real.
An annoying
didn't
person.
Didn't even get the fucking $15 an hour he was offering for
dude,
the typing
not,
stuff.
I was like,
what a
it
dick.
I, I really wanted to. I would have done it too because I really wanted to see in his house.
Yeah,
I
was like, dude, next step, I
gotta see this shit.
I want to know what those letters were gonna say. What's going on?
That's my thing, dude. Oh my god, I'm like, it would be crazy. I would feel a little bad about it, especially because he's supposed to be raising a child. If I was taking his money to his very limited budget to fucking like write a letter to like Bill Gates
something.
Like, what the fuck are we doing?
I can't imagine the shit that fucking son has been through.
Dude, he was so mean to
that's
kid.
What you were telling me.
It was even at one point he was like, why does he always do that kind of shit? And I was like, well, I don't think he can help it. And he goes, that's what he says. And I was like, well, that's because it's true.
Yeah.
And you're being a fucking prick, dude.
Like, just because you're an asshole doesn't mean that, like, autism or whatever doesn't exist.
Oh, my God. I'm like, this kid's got a fucking 80-year-old dad who's like this. How is he affording to even raise a child? If he doesn't have Social Security, all he has is Social Security.
And that kid's going to have a real hard time, getting out in the world.
Oh, he also wanted me to tutor his kid. He just threw that at it, too. He's like, I'll get the school to pay for it. I'm like,
That's not how that works.
You say such silly things. And it was funny because he kept trying to talk about, like, history and shit and blah, blah, blah. And he was convinced that he is a genius. And I'm like, you don't even, dude, you're so dumb.
Most people who are like, I'm a fucking genius are usually not geniuses.
He just couldn't conceive that someone would know about the bullshit that he's spewing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're out of your element.
Well, because I'm sure most people that he spins his webs to just are like, yeah, dude, that's cool. That's cool, man. Sounds good to get him to shut the fuck up. But he doesn't.
Oh my God. So while we're at Panera, some guy walks up. Some guy was walking by that he knew. And, you know, he had been presenting this image for the last hour of how fucking a man of the town he was. So he was, like, all over this dude. And the look on the guy's face was, like, I couldn't even understand it. It was, like, he was, like, what? Why is he making such a big deal right now? He was, like, confused, you know? And he was, like, he was just so surprised by it. And then he goes and walks off to one of the Panera employees, and I got the impression that he came to this Panera a lot.
Yeah.
And starts fucking just saying whatever to this kid. And I'm watching this kid just like, it's not. It's
sit there not, and just fucking take just, it.
Yeah, he's like, uh-huh. Take yeah, it. Okay. Yeah, you have a nice day. Bye. Yeah. Like, it's.
Oh, it's man.
Just, dude, it's crazy. It was weird. It was a fun little side adventure.
If I ever turn into an old person like that, just take me out back and put me down. Just put me down.
There's no fixing him. Yeah, nothing.
He's way past the point of no return. He's an 80-year-old man.
Like, he is.
I wonder how old that kid
is. The thing is, dudes like him, you know what he really reminds me of is fucking L. Ron Hubbard.
I feel like
L. Ron Hubbard was just like constantly talking and lying and lying and talking, you know?
Yep.
Love using lingo and shit. And it's such a pre-internet thing to do. Because it's like, what? That's not true.
Yeah, you know, no, you just I can look it up right now. That's not true. Yeah, you're wrong.
Oh, what do you mean? This? Are you talking about this? Because that's a totally different story. But in the old days, you could say whatever.
You could say whatever.
I didn't run into that one piece of information.
Yeah.
So you're probably right about it.
God, I bet people back then were like super liars. Like, could just lie about fucking literally.
We know everything. They were. Because remember, we were doing the cons and frauds. That was the golden age.
The golden era to be a fucking con man. Hell yeah.
You could fake being a pilot, dude. That's crazy.
Oh, I would have scammed so many people back then.
Just move towns over.
What are they gonna do? Nothing. Not a
goddamn thing. The only thing that sucks back then is like if you're caught, they just kill you, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the police will catch you and still kill you. They're like, all right,
they'll just shoot you.
Shoot you like a dog in the street. Fucking people like that always fascinate.
Did you see Dude?
No, I haven't yet.
Lisa Loki. All right.
No, I haven't. Sorry.
God damn.
Sorry.
Go see Dune 2.
Isn't it like 4 hours long?
No, it's only 2 hours.
Sorry. Only, 3 hours
it's
long?
It's only 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. You mumble through that last half.
It's so good, dude. It really just feels like, you know, No, it's 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Less.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
It's, it really feels like, you know, two full movies, and it's awesome. It's just like, you're really in that universe. The scenes are so cool. It's so badass. It's Denis Villeneuve, who did Sicario.
Oh, nice.
And fucking Hans Zimmer on the soundtrack while we're looking at Zendaya and Timothée Chalamet and Josh Brolin.
I need to watch it.
It was insane.
You need to watch Spaceman.
I went to Dolby Vision Cinema and I sat like dead in the middle of the theater, right where we're eye level with the thing, like in the back.
Yeah, it was
fucking perfect.
Yeah, I saw some videos of people who
overwhelming.
People who were like, yeah, I went and saw Dune in theaters and it was loud.
It's loud.
Fucking loud. I was like,
so cool. Dude, the sound design, I was like, I could literally watch I would watch a 10 episode season, no dialogue, of just Denis Villeneuve scenes of desert fighting.
Yeah.
Like the shit that he, oh my God, dude, the shit he did in the desert. There's like one montage that goes on for like, I think 20 minutes or so.
Damn.
Of like desert fighting and like all these assaults that they were doing and stuff and all these hit and runs. Oh my God, it was so fucking hard.
I could watch that. I could definitely.
You gotta get there, dude. You gotta go see it.
I could watch that. Yeah.
It's totally worth seeing in theaters.
Yeah.
I think it's the kind of movie that you would like miss out on.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It seems like the kind of movie that you'd see in theaters. Yeah, I watched Spaceman with Adam Sandler and in a serious role, which is like not uncommon. No, I wouldn't say it's not uncommon, but it's like, you know, it's not out of this world to see Adam Sandler in a serious role, but he's really good. The setting of this movie kind of like, I don't know. It tripped me out for a second because you're watching it and then it reminded me of BioShock of like the futuristic, you know, 60s or whatever, because he was a cosmonaut in this movie. And like everyone,
kind of cool.
Yeah, everyone was from the Soviet Union and didn't have accents at all. I was like, none of them had accents. Adam Sandler didn't have an accent, and I'm just like, you could have just
in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, I was like, you could have just based this in America, maybe. I don't know. Like,
it's, I like when they do that. I liked like Death of Stalin.
Yeah,
they all just had their natural accents, but it was good in that movie, especially because a lot of those dudes have different regional accents, and then a lot of those dudes that they were playing were from different Soviet nations.
Yeah, all these people were just like Americans.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was like, it was like, you could have just, I don't know. Yeah, and like, the choice.
Do we want them to do the accent?
No. I'm just saying, like, the choice to make them cosmonauts was like, I don't understand if it was like important to the movie or whatever, but like, it just seemed like a weird choice to make. I don't know. And it's definitely one of those movies that's like, oh, this one's gonna make you think, and there's double meaning to stuff, but like, it was really good. I enjoyed it. Paul Dano's in it.
What's it called? Oh, I love Paul Dano.
It's called
Dano,
Spaceman.
And I hate him deeply.
Yeah, it's called Spaceman. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's a giant.
His character in There Will Be Blood, like, I want to, like, strangle.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah, he.
This has got a 65 audience, 52 critic.
Yeah.
It says Spaceman isn't for everybody. Perfect. That's all I need.
Yeah, that's all I need. But yeah, Paul Dano does a great job. He plays a big old bug.
I'm looking at this Rotten Tomatoes list of anticipated horror movies of 2024. Can you think of any?
No, none at all.
Dead ass.
I have not seen.
You can think of one. Come on, we've been talking about
anticipated horror movies of 2024.
Yeah.
Which ones have we talked about?
Fucking Maxine.
Oh, I thought, I'm sorry, I didn't, for some reason in my mind, Maxine has already been out. I don't know why.
No.
It has already been out. But yeah, that's about the only one I would recognize.
I think that the Quiet Place sequel looks cooler than the Quiet Place by far.
Yeah.
I thought a Quiet Place was very mid.
I like a good origin story.
Well, and this is, the universe The universe doesn't make a lick of goddamn sense that late into thing. So the day one is a way more interesting scenario. Yeah. Like, you can do a lot with that. That'll be cool. I'm stoked about that movie. And Maxine, and hold on. Are you excited for Beetlejuice?
Oh, so fun. Love that.
Or Saw 11? What about that? Jesus
fucking Christ. Didn't Saw 10 come out this 2023?
I am excited for the one I forgot about was Nosferatu. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
That's gonna be Robert Eggers.
No shit.
That's Robert Eggers, yeah, and Bill Skarsgård. That's and gonna be like tight. Aaron Taylor Johnson, Lily Rose Depp, yeah, Nicholas Holt. That movie looks, dude, like an A24 Robert Eggers vampire movie. I'm in. Done. It's gonna be insane. You gotta convince that's just gonna anymore. Rock my world.
And I love the Skarsgårds. Love them to death. I do too. There's talk of A24 making a Backrooms movie, and I'm really into that idea. Really.
Oh, there's also on this list, there's one movie that's called Stop Motion.
Is it?
That looks, yeah, it's like a lot of it is in stop motion, and it's a horror film.
Stop Motion looks fucking abysmal.
Dude, what?
It looks abysmal to like shoot. Like,
film. Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Horrible. I don't know. I might check that one out. But yeah, the Nosferatu and Maxine are ones I've been like, I want to see those movies.
Yeah, sure. Like I said, if there's anyone who's going to make a Backrooms movie,
it's A24.
I feel like they're the only ones who could do it correctly because I feel like they're weird as fuck and know exactly what the Backrooms are. So yeah, I fucking.
It's true.
Any Nicolas Cage movies coming out in 2024?
Does America exist? Yeah. Does time travel on? Yeah. Does capitalism forge forward? And if Nicolas Cage is making a movie.
He's making movies, all right?
That's a good point. Let's see. What has he got?
Yeah, what's he got coming out in 2024? Get all Nick Cage updates.
Two movies, Arcadian and Long Legs. Arcadian is an action horror film.
Love that.
Very little information about what it is. This says basically becomes aliens on an Irish farm with Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Cool.
It's got the Cage in it. I'll watch it.
And Jaden Martell. I hate that fucking.
Who
kid.
Is that?
He was in Knives Out. He was the little neo-Nazi kid.
Oh yeah.
Dude,
okay.
he just honestly, it's not even his fault. He just looks so much like Ben Shapiro. I can't stand him.
He does look. He looks.
I really
lot
think
like,
he just is Ben.
He
Shapiro.
He looks like a young Ben Shapiro. I would say a young, slightly gay Ben Shapiro, but Ben Shapiro kind of already looks like that.
He probably is slightly gay.
Yeah.
Then the other one is Long Legs, which is another horror movie.
Long
FBI
Legs.
Agent, serial killer.
FBI agent turned serial killers?
No, like following a serial killer.
Oh, okay.
That could be good. It's Nicolas Cage, so they're all a coin toss.
Yeah, it's true. It could be hit. I really liked his movie Mandy was not for everybody. I want to go ahead and throw that out there. Was not for everybody, but I really enjoyed it.
Which one was Mandy?
That's the one where he lives in the woods with his girlfriend and then she gets attacked. I honestly don't know how to describe it to you. No idea.
I think I saw it. It's and insane. It just like didn't like. And then I saw his weird Five Nights at Freddy's ripoff movie.
I didn't see that one.
That was not very good at all.
Did not.
But then Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent was really good.
Yeah. Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent was incredible. I fucking love that movie. Incredible. What is fucking Pedro Pascal doing movie-wise this year?
Dude, everything. He's got to be... I see that guy all goddamn day.
Yeah, he's a hot commodity, dude.
He's in Gladiator 2.
No shit, okay.
Oh my God. Freaky Tales. I don't know what that is. Is it already out? Oh, no. Oh, wait. Maybe it is? There's reviews for it, so maybe it comes out soon. A period piece action comedy, whatever. And then Drive Away Dolls is a comedy thriller. It's 80 minutes.
Okay.
Got Matt Damon and Miley Cyrus in it. That's kind of crazy.
Interesting cast.
Oh, here we go. There's a... Oh, shit. Oh, the rumors are speculating that he'll be in the Fantastic Four movie. The Mandalorian movie.
Jesus.
And then there's a bunch of stuff that he doesn't have. Plus, well, Last of Us 2 will start filming.
Dude, oh my god, I'm so excited. So excited for The Last of Us 2. I tell me all the things that's happening. I want to know all the things.
I know.
Oh yeah. My god, it's so good. So good. Anything else? You got headlines?
From this week, the Republicans have another... This one dude, like, surprise resigned from the House. Didn't tell anybody.
Okay.
Didn't tell the House leader. Didn't tell the fucking district that he was going to affect. He was just like, I'm out.
See you later. All right.
And so the Republican... And he was like, hey, man, I'll warn y'all right now. This ain't the last of people quitting.
Yeah.
And that means the Republicans have a one vote majority right now in the House, and they're kind of on their way to fucking just quitting it away. They might lose it just from people resigning.
Damn.
It's not a good sign because it's that evaporative
effect.
Yeah,
the evaporative
cult. Yeah. And that's concerning.
That is very concerning.
Because people keep thinking that the Republican Party, like, will lose or something, and then they'll be like, we have to go back to normal. And I'm like, it's over, guys. That's gone forever.
The crazies will stick around because they're the ones stupid enough
insane.
To be like, I can change this country, just me. And like, they will stick around because they're crazy, obviously.
It's insane. The party can't do anything. They won't even pass their own agendas because, like, Donald Trump doesn't want them to. It's just baffling.
We just need a hard reset. We need a fucking hard reset.
What we need is, I think what we need is to go, like, look, there's been these lawsuits going around that Amazon's trying to do, and somebody else, can't remember, but they're basically trying to bust up all of our labor laws and go back to the old days. And I'm like, I think you're right, Amazon. I do think we need to go back to the old
days. I think we do as well.
I think we need to go back to the old days.
Start building a guillotine.
Yeah, we're going to start doing the Amazon wars. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. I'm going to be dynamiting Amazon warehouses
the no shit. Fucking shooting down Amazon attack drones. Fucking dude. Oh, my God.
Dude, for real. That's what we need to do at this point. I'm like, let's go back to it. You guys forgot how we got to you.
Yeah,
we were kidnapping your family.
Yeah,
before.
And fucking taking fingers off and sending them back to you. I fully believe that there is at least a dozen Amazon factories that, at the flip of a switch, can immediately start churning out war machines.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Bezos has.
Bezos literally has enough money to be like, hey, Venezuela, could I borrow your, like, entire navy?
Yeah.
Like, for real. Here's enough collateral. Put down. I need an entire military from you, please.
I'm almost certain.
I want to see if I can get rates on, like, how much it costs to get a Wagner battalion group to show up.
Damn, I mean...
How much does Wagner cost?
And then I'm certain Amazon, Bezos has, like, a button in his office that when he presses it, a dozen Amazon factories, like all the Amazon product immediately, like, falls through the floor and it starts making tanks and fucking goddamn, you know, 50 cal machine guns or just bombs, bro, straight bombs.
This is insane. They get paid twice as much as a Russian private, so they get $35,000 a year.
Oh, nice. To go be in an active war.
Like the worst one. Yeah. Like one of the worst wars in forever.
Dude, fucking...
Oh, my God.
All my For You page on TikTok has been Russian Civil War videos of, like... Russian soldiers being like, we're not doing this anymore. We're coming for
your ass. There's been some fun Ukraine developments. They sunk more.
Yeah.
More ships, which is hilarious. Just hilarious that a country with no navy continues to blow another navy to shit. Dude, and the videos, there was a video of from the deck. from the deck of the ship. Yeah. Oh my god, dude. It was insane to see, like, them. They're like shooting at the dark, dude. They're just firing tracers into nothing, that's, you know?
Crazy.
I know. That's so tight. And I was like, is it really that hard?
Dude, to fucking... That's so
tight. But yeah, I was like, in the morning, after it happened, like 12 hours after, we get the drone footage of this thing driving straight into it. And then, like, the next day, we get a footage of a dude standing on the dock, and you're like, hey, there's the drone. Yeah. Holy shit.
The most documented war. Fuck it.
Oh, it's dude, insane.
It's the age of technology.
Just wait until the U.S. and China go to war, and we have fucking soldiers posting on TikTok.
Yeah, I would say, like, streamer. Like, it's like, it's like fucking. What was that? What was the Termination Shock. Yeah, where they have like leaderboards of like who's whooping ass better. It's like you've got sponsored soldiers.
Completely
like this
believable.
Dude's kicking indoors with like a Mountain Dew helmet and like a fucking
a jock strap.
A G Fuel fucking machine gun as he's just like mowing down enemy soldiers. Oh man, capitalist war. We love that. That's incredible. Sponsored
said,
by
oh,
Gatorade.
Okay, so this said Russia spent for 1 year of Wagner, it's cost them $1 billion.
Jesus.
So that's nothing at all. Jesus. Holy fuck, Bezos can buy whole fucking nations. That's
Bezos
insane.
Could personally employ every Wagner soldier and be like, I'll pay you more. And they'll fucking get them all over.
Literally. Here. He's like, do you guys want to make, I don't know, as much as our Amazon pickers?
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
You want to make like $40,000 a year? Everyone's like, oh.
Like, I'm paying you as much as the drivers. That's about,
They're like, okay, there will be drones, but they won't have grenades.
Yeah,
so
way better than what you're going through right now. Way better than what you're going through right now. Having to see a drone in the air and just be like, that might have a grenade on it. We should take cover. No, thank you.
Exhausting.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, a lot. The worst is all those videos where they like know they're coming and they're like, there's this one where this dude was so worn out. Like, this thing is dropping grenades behind it. Like, the first one was behind him. It hits his buddy. He doesn't flinch, doesn't slow down. He's just trudging along, just waiting for his, dude. And he does. He gets hit, too. And I'm like, oh, my that's fucking God.
Fucking harrowing. Harrowing.
Oh, dude, I was like, that is a level of, like, broken and defeated I've never
experienced. Never experienced. Never. And then in the future, we're going to have drone PTSD, dude. So, like,
I know.
Someone's going to be out, like,
someone's getting a hot pizza.
Yeah. Oh! So, dude. Someone's going to be out doing whatever, and, like, you're going to have one of those guys that have the fucking, like, the first-person drones that race them, and it's going to have whizzing by, and this dude's going to lose their mind. Yeah, he's going to fucking open fire.
Especially because those are, like, becoming some of the most dangerous things in the war now, because they figured out how to mount RPG warheads to them.
That's insane.
And, like, those things are blowing up whole tanks.
That's fucking,
dude.
That's insane.
I was like, I don't know, it's nuts. It's so fucking scary. I cannot imagine.
It's really like a time where, like, I don't know.
Like,
could not have predicted.
The Russians ran out of all of their, they're really starting to run out of their, like, old infantry fighting vehicles and shit. So lately they've been using, like, buggies. On, like, open field attacks.
Dude,
like,
yeah.
With the way drones are right now, and you have to fucking be in, like, a Jeep? Yeah. Like, an open top Jeep?
A golf cart with a machine gun,
that's terrifying.
One short burst throws you off course. You're like, all right, we gotta
literally. That's fucking horrifying.
Oh, that is terrifying. That is fucking. I cannot imagine.
I really hope America gets its shit together and gives the Ukrainians the weapons they need.
Yeah,
because it sucks that they're getting their ass beat.
Those
right
are
now.
Some hard fucking men. Some hard,
miserable life.
Miserable. But fucking hard. Fighting a goddamn military with drones and any weapons they can find. It's impressive. Blocked. It's fucking impressive.
How long have we been gabbing?
40 minutes.
That's a good amount of time. Yeah. You go first this week?
All right, you're covering
you, because you're covering the dick, right?
Oh, yeah. Let me pull my notes out. Oh, shit. Let's see here. That every time I open this laptop, it's always on the last set of notes I did because I just close it and forget about it. All right, because I love me some fucking old timey robbers, dude. I'm going to be covering John Dillinger. Fucking hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. So, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I was going to cover the Brinks.
Except John Dillinger shot at the police. Are you doing a bad guys?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
I'm confused.
I'm doing the bad guy.
Yeah, but shooting the police.
Well, he didn't just shoot at the police. He killed, there were other people that he killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. So.
Yeah, but he was Johnny Depp.
Dude, that's so true. He was Johnny Depp. That's true. Yeah. He can do no wrong. I thought about covering the Brinks robbery, but I was like, eh, it's not. I mean, it's cool, but it's just not as, I don't know, spicy. I might still cover the Brinks robbery, but we're doing.
I'm covering the Brinks robbery.
Yeah. We're doing John Dillinger. So if you don't like it, I don't know, start your own podcast and fuck off or something. So, so Dillinger was born June 22nd, 1903 in Indianapolis, Indiana. He was the youngest son. His father was a grocer, it says, quote, by trade, which I think is hilarious because that can be, you know, I'm a grocer by trade. Yeah, yeah, I can support my family off groceries. So apparently he was a bit of an asshole, as I imagine most parents were back then. And as a teen, surprise, surprise, Dillinger was frequently in trouble and throwing fisticuffs and committing petty theft. He also was described to have a bewildering personality, which is...
quote for mental illness.
Yeah, not the best thing that you could be described as. He was also super charismatic, which is...
You're like, I'm wildly attracted.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
That's exactly up my alley.
Right up my goddamn alley. He was also very charismatic, which is most gangsters in the early ages were. He quit school to work in an Indianapolis machine shop. His father is like, you know, son, my abuse will have nothing to do with how you act as an adult, but in that city, the city life is going to corrupt you. So his dad moves him and the family to Mooresville, Indiana in 1921, and obviously moving out of to bumfucked Egypt did not do anything to help because a year later, Dillinger is arrested for boosting cars. So the next year, he's forced to enlist in the Navy, where he is a machinery repairman on the USS Utah. After a couple months, he's like, this fucking sucks, and goes AWOL when the ship is docked in Boston. He eventually returns to Mooresville, where he meets a hot little toddy and gets married in 1924. He attempts to leave the old bad boy life and live the straight and narrow, but he can't find a job, so he says fuck it and goes back, you know, to doing hood rat shit.
It's easier crime.
Yeah, it's easy way. Always a job when you're criming.
I'd much rather just hit licks.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, I'd much rather fucking hit some sick licks, boost some cars, steal some jewelry.
Devious licks.
Yeah, devious licks. So he ends up robbing a local grocery store with one of his friends who was also an ex-con. He makes off with about $50, which is about $886 today in today's freedom bucks.
That's petty.
Yeah.
That's pretty petty.
Yeah. $800.
That's not a lot.
So they skedaddle, but they're seen by a minister while making their getaway during the robbery. Oh, and during the robbery, Dillinger had hit a man in the head with a machine bolt wrapped in cloth. He also had a bit of an oopsie, what we describe as a negligent discharge during the robbery, but it didn't kill anybody.
Oh,
it didn't hit anybody.
Oh, dang.
Nothing makes you look like a schmuck.
Guns
more
back then were a little, they yeah, were sensitive.
Dicey. Yeah. Yeah. So these two goobers were arrested the next day. His homie pleads not guilty, but after Dillinger's father has a little chat with the Morgan County prosecutor, he convinces Dillinger to plead guilty without hiring an attorney. So, old Dillinger is convicted of assault and battery with intent to rob and conspiracy to commit a felony. During his sentence, he's like, okay, cool. Like, my dad talked to the prosecutor, gave him a little fucking silver tongue lashing, and I cooperated, so I am pleaded guilty, so I'm fucking light work, no reaction. Yeah, wrong. The prosecutor gave him 10 to 20 years, where his partner in crime, who pled not guilty, got 2 to 14. Got fucked up. So
back in the old days, they're like, oh, so you admitted it?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
That motherfucker right there. And
that's the most backward shit I've ever heard. Oh, he admitted it. He admitted it. We got him.
You pussy, you got to stand your ground.
The other guys makes them do a whole trial, dude, and they're like, fuck you, dude.
So, Dillinger is incarcerated at Indiana Reformatory and then Indiana State Prison from 1924 to 1923. Upon entering prison, he swore that after he did his bid that he would be a changed man, which is obviously not true. His first day there, he is quoted saying, "I will be the meanest bastard you ever saw when I get out of here."
I feel like that's something every permanent bottom in prison
says. It is very true.
I'm like, dude, you're gonna be humble
real quick. So he's stewing in prison, getting angry at the world because he's in prison for committing a crime, but
that he did.
So a lot of like, we live in a society attitude.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he starts making friends, and among the friends he makes are a group of seasoned bank robbers. The group consists of Harry Pete Pierpoint, Charles Mackley, Russell Clark, and Homer Van Meter. They give our boy a crash course in being a successful criminal. Not too successful, since they're all in prison.
Listen to me, kid. You're like, and why are you here?
Yeah, we're all in the same place, buddy. So
that's a good point.
While they're incarcerated, they begin planning a slew of heists. So after serving a whopping 9 years, he is paroled, and he's sent back to the land of the free right at the height of the Great Depression. So when he gets out, he couldn't find a job for fucking shit, which causes him to turn right back to crime. And on June 21st, 1933, he robs his first bank, making off with around $10,000. I don't know if that was an already converted number, so we'll just say it's not, and that's about $200,000 in Freedom Bucks today.
Okay.
So he gets away on August 14th, robs a bank in Bluffton, Ohio. He's tracked down by police in Dayton, Ohio, and is going to be transferred to the Allen County Jail in Lima. Police, hey, can you take it easy? It's a fucking...
Take it easy.
It's a plastic bag. So police searching for weapons and find a document detailing a prison escape plan. I would imagine it had escape plan written in big letters on the top, so there was no mystery. They're like, wait, what's this, dude? And he refuses to talk. So they're like, well, nothing we can do about that, and just puts him in a cell. A few days later, after his capture, Dillinger's friends smuggle guns into their cell somehow, and they use those to escape.
Different. I feel like you can't do that in modern prisons.
Absolutely not.
You can get your phone, you can get your whatever, you're probably not going to get a gun.
No, absolutely not.
I feel like most people in America prisons now, like, would want a gun.
No.
You know, they're like, dude, this is going to fuck my shit up.
Fuck
yeah,
solitary for a long time. So they smuggle guns into their cell and they use those to escape. The group now forms what's called the First Dillinger Gang, which, you know, it's going to go well when you have the first in your name. Having the first in the,
it's like that line from Krunk. She's like, why do you think they called it the First World War?
Yeah.
Do you think they were just being pessimistic?
Yeah. This gang is made up of Pierpont, Clark, Mackley, Ed Schruce, there's no R, Harry Copeland, and John Red Hamilton. They travel to Lima in October of 1933. They impersonate Indiana State Police and approach the sheriff saying they've come to extradite Dillinger. And when the sheriff was like, where's your credentials? They're like, right here, bitch, and they pull out a gun and shoot him in the face. So after that, they break him out, and the Dillinger gang is in full swing. So from 1930...
I mean, an escape where you get guns isn't even cool.
Not really, yeah. You just got a gun. Yeah.
Bro, you have a gun now.
No, daring escape.
You're just on the even. Yeah, yeah, you're just equal now.
Yeah, you just got, like, the upper hand because they don't expect you to have guns. So...
yeah.
From,
this isn't no helicopter picking you up from the middle of the thing with this... Yeah, no.
Or, like, you... chiseling your way through the wall and then
it's not a tunnel at all. It's lame.
Crawling through a tunnel and then having to like sit in the wall for 2 hours while guards pass by and make sure that
that's
we're
real.
Not. Yeah. So from 1933 to 1934, the Dillinger gang participated in 12 separate bank robberies. In January of 1934, Dillinger and his gang are captured in Tucson, Arizona. And he's extradited to Indiana. extradited to Indiana and escorted back by the chief of the Indiana State Police. He's taken to Lake County Jail in Crown Point, Indiana, on charges of murder for killing that police officer for killing a police officer during an East Chicago bank robbery. The local police start I'm sorry, the local police start shooting their mouths off in the paper, like, look who we fucking got, the big bad John Dillinger. And we locked him in an escape-proof jail with extra guards. Ain't no way he's getting out of this one. And in March 5th of 1934, while being taken out for his morning exercises.
Dude, we were so crude.
Dude,
back
I know, like, did not give a fuck.
It was so funny how often we were like, this is the best that could ever
yeah,
be.
Dude, and no, like, no, not
like
a care
the
in the
Titanic,
world.
Titanic, you know, yeah. our prisons, like whatever. We're
it,
just like
it took
mercury,
us a while.
You know?
It took us a while for us to learn that we can't just say shit like that. Because,
yes.
So they start shooting their mouths on the paper that they got him in a fucking unescapable room. And March of 1934, while being taken out for his morning exercises, Dillinger managed to escape with 15 other inmates. Dillinger somehow whipped a pistol out and took the guards by surprise. I'm like, how are
the old I have a pistol.
Yeah, how are you just getting guns like this?
It's just a guy goes over to the fences, yeets
just
a
throws
over.
It over the. That's yeah. probably exactly what
happens.
He just
happens. Catches it. Yeah. Thank you.
So I will say it is wildly speculated if the gun was real. The guards on duty swear it was real. Of course they did, but the FBI says it was fake and carved out of wood. Which also Dillinger did not fire around. So it is heavily believed
that one was definitely wood.
Yeah, it's heavily believed that it is a wooden gun. It was a wooden gun.
That's
so,
lit.
Dillinger gets indicted by a grand jury, and the FBI organizes a nationwide manhunt. Dillinger meets up with his boothang at the time, and they boot scoot and boogie to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they end up meeting up with John Red Hamilton, and the two rustle themselves up a new gang with George Babyface Nelson's crew. Notorious gangster George Babyface Nelson. This gang consists of Homer Van Meter, Tommy Carroll, and Eddie Green. And they go on to rob a bank in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and a bank in Mason City, Iowa. They're fucking just trekking all over the place. It's impressive, to be honest.
Oh,
like, how the fuck are y'all getting from point A to point B so
quick? Like, as soon as you're done, you just get in the car and drive to the next thing.
Yeah, in the old jalopy and fucking wooga yourself.
40 miles an hour. those things just scream a wooga, don't they?
So Dillinger's story is fucking long as hell, and he pulled a lot of shenanigans, and so I wanted to keep this around 3 pages, so we're just going to start firing him off. He gets into a shootout with police in St. Paul, Minnesota, where Dillinger shoots through a motel door with the old Chicago typewriter. He gets into fucking badass, dude.
Dude, those things weigh like 14 pounds.
Dude, yeah, they're hefty boys.
That was back when men were men.
That must feel so good.
You had to carry heavy shit around.
It must feel so good just to let off a drum of that thing and just fucking...
Oh, 100 rounds? Yeah, they have like a 600 round per minute, so it's like kind of slow. You got like time to just sit there and
just fucking put holes in things.
I'm going to see. I'm going to guess 11 seconds. How long it takes
to like empty a drum?
Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, it's got to be like around 10 to 11.
I'm overthinking it here. Let's see.
While you look that up, I'm going to continue.
Yeah. Definitely.
So he fucking shoots at the cops with a good old Thompson. He gets into a car wreck with his brother in their hometown after they fucking cream a goddamn car driven by an old couple because his brother fell asleep behind the wheel. They ditch the ride. Police show up.
Oops.
Yeah. So they ditch the ride, and the police show up, and they search the car, and they find like a couple guns and some other stuff, but they find a bullwhip in the car, among other things. And apparently, Dillinger's brother was going to pay a visit to a shysty one-armed lawyer he knew and whip the fuck out of him. Like, whip him in his face for some reason.
I have to whip this
guy. Yeah, there's no other way.
Hey, John, you keep saying whip. Yeah. Do you mean that literally?
He's got a fucking bullwhip. Oh, my God. Shows up, yeah. He's like,
it's like Frank at the end of that. Yeah. It's always funny.
I'll whip that little bitch to the face. Yeah. He's like making his brother hold him at gunpoint while he just like whips him in the face.
Why are we doing a whip, bro? It's, yeah, that's even funnier holding him. You're like, oh my God, it's so dangerous.
Almost
dude.
Hitting his brother. So,
yeah, it would take 10 seconds.
Oh, really? Okay. I mean, that's a good amount of time long. While shooting.
Dude,
yeah,
gunfire? Yeah. That's terrible.
So the men
a door in half.
End up robbing a police station in Warsaw, Indiana, stealing guns and bulletproof vests. They evade the FBI again. And
robbing a police station would be so fun. You
so,
get so
hard.
Much cool stuff.
Yeah.
I've played
like PZ. Like I would say, like when we rob like police station, the PZ. You're like, oh my God! Oh, yeah. Look at all these guns.
I'm with PZ, dude.
Me too. I've been thinking about it a lot.
I'm ready to binge it at any moment.
I've been thinking about it a lot. So. They rob the police station. They steal the guns and bulletproof vests. They evade the FBI again in Manitowish Waters, Wisconsin. And after the feds, this was after the feds opened fire on a vehicle they believed to be carrying Dillinger, killing the driver. Dillinger and the boys were actually upstairs in a lodge and opened fire on the police.
The police just firing at a car randomly? That is so
dude.
Out of character.
Yeah, so out of character. So...
nothing more scary to the police than dogs and fucking empty
and the
cars.
Unknown, dude. So they fire at the police from the second floor of this lodge and they escape out the back of the building. Dillinger spent some time in Chicago where he and another member of the gang get plastic surgery. Dillinger has his dimples removed. He has some moles on his face removed and he cinches up a few areas. And him and another person in his gang also get their fingerprints removed. The doctor that was doing it almost killed him with an OD of ether, but it all went well. He survived. So two of the he went the distance. He really went the distance.
And holy shit!
Yeah. So it got done, and Dillinger is known to was it's recorded that he was like, I do not like the way I look anymore. He really fucked me up.
Damn.
Yeah. So the two of the Dillinger men are killed. One from falling from a 19th story, the 19th story of a building while in police custody. And the other being shot
what?
In a dead-end alleyway.
They just killed him like
they
that?
They just threw his ass overboard, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well,
remember, we were just talking about the police will just kill you.
They'll just fucking murder you.
Especially if you shot police. Like, you're done.
You're not getting out alive. No, not at all.
Yeah, Dorner, they were never going to arrest that guy.
No.
Under zero. That's why they just instantly lit
open
the
fire.
House on fire.
Yeah. So, and then the other guy was shot dead in an alleyway by the St. Paul chief of police.
He did. He gunned him down.
Yeah.
He just walked up on him in an alley, fucking shot him.
Yeah, that's modern, another day in police work.
They were like, he was reaching for his gun. Aren't they always, dude?
Straight, that's a play straight out of the fucking Academy textbook right there.
It literally, like, probably is.
So
just remember to say, if you fire your gun, it's because they were reaching for their gun.
Yeah, repeat after me. He was reaching for a weapon.
Like, every shot, reaching for his gun.
Weapon. Yeah. So J. Edgar Hoover creates a special little task force to deal with Dillinger. They get a call from a madam who was like, yeah, he's hanging around the brothel, but I'll only give him up if you agree to these terms and also stop me from being deported. The FBI is like, of course, yeah, to get the most prolific criminal right now, absolutely. She helps him, gets deported anyways.
I know. Yeah. See, I'm like, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, did you get that in writing? Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
So word was that Dillinger was hanging out with his little lady friend, and they were going to the movies. So after not knowing which theater to go to, the feds, along with Chicago PD, decided to send two teams to both theaters in the area to not take any chances. Excuse me.
We're shooting someone.
Yeah, someone's
dying
tonight. Tonight.
At the movie theater.
One team went to the Marlboro Theater while the other went to the Biograph Theater. So as the feds show up, the manager of the theater is like, who the fuck are these guys? And he calls the 5-0 thinking they're robbers and he's about to get fucking stood up, you know? And the police like, no, chill. It's a secret little mission. You don't need to worry about it. Don't talk about our secret little mission. So meanwhile, Dillinger is inside watching a movie. When the movie ends, an FBI agent is standing next near the exit, and His cue when he sees Dillinger is to light a cigar real nonchalant-like. So the officer staking out the theater know that Dillinger is about to walk out and they need to make their move. Dillinger walks past this agent. The agent picks up his cigar, lights it.
Cigar!
Lights it like nothing's happening. And as he does this, Dillinger turns, looks him in the face, and then takes off running. Fed right there. So he cuts down an alleyway.
I've never seen someone light a cigar more like
More like a fucking cop. So he cuts down an alleyway. Unfortunately, the police had anticipated he might do this, and they had blocked it off. Three agents chase after Dillinger, open fire, fucking blam, blam, blam. Dillinger is hit from behind and falls face first on the pavement.
He's reaching for his gun.
Yeah, he's got a gun. So he was struck four times, the fatal strike being the bullet that entered through the back of his neck, severing his spinal cord, passing through his brain, and exiting just under his right eye. And the police also shot two women as well in the fiasco. Didn't kill him, but shot him.
They're like, you know what? Honestly,
good day.
Good for us.
Good day.
Pretty good for us.
They're
not going to die, right?
Yeah, yeah. Two awesome. Not dead people that didn't have anything to do with it. We're kind of, you know.
Only two?
We're going to have a party about women? This. Yeah, fuck it.
Let's go.
So, apparently, as Dillinger is, like, bleeding out on the ground, or, like, maybe after they scooped his body up, there were, like, souvenir collectors dipping newspaper in his blood as, like, a souvenir. And so his body was put on display in the Cook County morgue, and an estimated 15,000 people viewed the corpse over a day and a half. Can I help you lay down? His body, 15,000 people over a day and a half, and four death masks were made. Dillinger is now buried in Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis. People keep chopping off pieces of his tombstone or headstone as a souvenir. Cool. Throughout his criminal career, he stole around $500,000, which is like $7 million in today's money. Now,
pretty good.
Pretty good haul, but the FBI spent $44 million trying to catch him. So, I mean,
totally worth it.
Totally worth it, dude. And that is the story of the famous gangster John Dillinger.
Kind of a piece of shit.
Kind of a piece of shit, and also, like, wasn't that bad.
Not so bad.
Really? He robbed banks.
It's crazy how robbing banks used to be a full-on job. Like,
yeah, it was a viable career. And you could just break out of prison.
We made it so hard to rob banks now. It's hardly worth it like it used to be.
It is not worth it at all. Only amateurs rob banks now.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to have a full crew. You have to be a pro to hit, like, a armored truck and stuff.
Dude, for,
And now with, like, with GPS and stuff, I don't know, they'll be on you.
It's not worth it.
Seconds.
And I remember the Brinks robbery I was going to cover, and I think the town, that movie with Ben Affleck, is loosely based off the Brinks robbery. There's a lot of similarities in that story. Lay down.
Yeah, it is. That's pretty good. And you know what? He died.
Yeah. So
even Stevens.
Yeah. You know? Case closed.
Another one in the dust, boys.
Fuck, another notch
crime
on the belt.
Solved. Yeah. We stopped crime.
We stopped crime.
I guess.
You can consider that an A+ case.
It's
closed.
Like, what would $44 million have done if we had just made banks safer?
Yeah.
You know?
and like, Christ. I know like someone was like, do you think that killing him was actually solving the case? And the feds are like, he's not out there committing crimes anymore, is he? No. So it's
that was the point.
Done. Yeah.
It's
done.
I mean, and it's crazy. They killed, like, every person in his family and crew. Like, no. Once you start shooting at the cops back then, game over.
I mean, even it's a little less like that now. But if you kill a cop, bro.
It's a
like,
little bit less like
they're
going
to beat you in custody. They're going to mercilessly beat the fuck out of you in custody.
As the LAPD taught us.
Yeah.
Just get a whole group of them together and kick your ass.
Just imagine, if you're not from the United States, that LAPD story, just imagine every cop in America is like that, because most of them are.
Yeah, pretty much. I agree. So this is also a story about the police sucking ass.
Nice.
Unfortunately. I'm telling the story of Miriam Rodriguez Martinez. Not a lot of her early life is known because she wasn't famous, and you'll get into it. But yeah. She was born on February 5th, 1960 in San Fernando, Tamaulipas, a state in Mexico. We know that she had a daughter named Karen, born in 1998, and then she had a son, I think, a couple years later. And we unfortunately know that her daughter went missing at 14 years old in 2012. This is shocking and unfortunate, but in Mexico, especially at the time, not an uncommon thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking at all. Tamaulipas was where the infamous Los Zetas cartel was, which was a cartel of former Mexican special forces. I mean, not just that, but it had a lot of them. And that is when the Zetas started a cartel war against their leadership, which was bad.
That's rough.
Very bad.
That is rough.
So,
dude, can you imagine? Can you imagine if we had like a drug ring in the United States made up of mostly Navy SEALs, and you're just like, okay, so like superheroes are kicking, like shooting in the streets. Sorry, there's nothing I can do about that.
Dude, that's for real. Like, they are like way more capable than the police, you know? Yeah, I know, horrifying. And so to fund the war, a common tactic at the time was to abduct people and demand ransom for it. So by 2014, over 20,000 people were missing with, quote, pending investigations. And the police, horribly corrupt, basically were doing nothing about it. I mean, a ton of them are the cartel. Yeah. A ton of them are paid by the cartel. Or we're just like, I'll die if I do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So poor Karen became another... disappeared is the term that is used in Mexico for the many people missing as a result of cartel activity. Karen's abduction ran just like a common tactic. She was preparing to merge into traffic. Two trucks pull up on each side of her, force themselves into the truck, drive off with her.
Damn.
So the Zetas were raising cash for the cartel war, and shootouts were so common that much of the city was even shut down at the time. They were just hiding. Mass graves of like 10 bodies wouldn't even make the news. Like, it had to be like 20 or more to be like a big thing.
Damn.
This is the cartel and state and time that they made a bus full of people fight each other to the death with sledgehammers.
Ugh, which is that's so gnarly.
Awful. That to is imagine.
Gnarly.
There's like they made like senior citizens and children.
There are like horrors that happen in this world that like. Just and I'm not
those guys go home.
I know, dude, for real. I'm not one. I don't really get squeamish with stuff like that. But when I think about like obviously, you know, it's empathy. Thinking about putting yourself in a position where you had to do that, and it was like you had to fucking kill, you know, old elderly people and children and shit. Like, how do you go home? Like, you know, those dudes had families too. So like, how do you go home to your family and be like, oh yeah, you know, we're great, everything's good. Like, you are a truly evil fucking person.
It's horrible. So they grab her, they take her to her family home, presumably to rob her. While she was on the ground and gagged, her uncle shows up to the house to work on the family truck. He gets grabbed as well. Damn. That sucks. Damn. Wrong place, wrong time. The Rodriguez family, they take out a loan from a bank because the bank has a specific program offered for kidnap ransoms, because it happens so often in Mexico.
That's crazy town, dude.
Oh, really? Miserable little detail that shook me to read. I was like, oh my god. Like, we know the police here are dog shit, but like, we don't have a kidnap program.
Dude, fuck no. No, we don't.
Oh my god. So they take the loan out. They drop the bag of cash off near the health clinic. They went to the cemetery to await Karen's release. As promised, she wasn't released.
Okay.
She's desperate. So Miriam's desperate. And she's like, she goes to the local cartel and is like, can I just meet somebody and talk?
Can I have a little parlay?
And they were like, yeah, we can do that. Which I was like, oh my god, okay.
I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know.
So she meets up, and he's like, oh no, we don't have her. But if you gave me $2,000, I could definitely help find her. And she's like, probably not true, but she pays just in case, which is sad. And she also manages to hear his real name squawked out over the radio that he had on his hip. And his name is Sama. He stopped picking up the phone after a week, obviously. More people start calling her. They say they need another $500 or whatever. She keeps paying them, which is sad. And the hope is poisonous. And eventually, a few weeks after her last payment, she wakes up one morning and walks down the stairs and tells her son, she's like, yeah, she's dead. She's damn. There's just no way. I know. Very sad. Yeah, she's like, there's just no way that she's alive.
No,
So she gets an idea. She gets with the uncle who had been seized because he got released. They were like, they were like, well, we didn't need him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Okay.
We can't sell you, old man.
I was like, and they
really just let him go?
I know. Yeah. Life is so casual to them already. I was like, why even keep him alive?
Dude, for real. It would be easier just to kill him. Yeah. We made people kill each other with sledgehammers and a bus. We're not going to kill an old man. You know what I'm saying?
No. He was just here to fix his truck.
Yeah.
So she gets an idea. So she gets with the uncle. The guy tells Miriam everything that he knows and confirms that Salma was, in fact, part of her daughter's kidnapping. Because he said he wasn't. She was. So then she does a little bit of social media sleuthing, crawling through Karen's Facebook and then just all of Facebook to see if she can find any hints. She's looking at friends, and finally finds a picture of Salma himself, an active member of the cartel, tagged on Facebook.
Hell yeah, dude.
Your OPSEC is out.
Terrible. That digital footprint is crazy. Oh, have you seen
on the Insta, I've been posting some cartel videos?
Yeah.
I've been starting to get more of those on the feed. I'm like, this is so awesome. Them flying below the radar over the river with the fucking plane full of cocaine.
Ridiculous.
Oh my God, dude. And then they go and post their fucking face on Facebook. They're so stupid. So, the woman... Or the picture was with a woman who worked at an ice cream shop in a city just 2 hours away. So she, Miriam, starts staking out the fucking store. She watches it for weeks, gets an idea of everyone's schedule, and she starts following the woman in the picture for a while until she finally sees her meet up with Salma. And so she then follows them home, gets their address, and she knows the police aren't going to do shit about it.
Yeah,
she's like, this isn't enough with the location. She goes, the next step. She cuts her hair, she dyes it bright red, puts on this old government health ministry uniform that she had from an old job with an official looking ID, and then she goes through the neighborhood taking all day to pull all the neighbors until she gets some details on the captor, which she takes to the local, state, and federal authorities. What happens next will shock you. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, there it is.
They don't do anything. I mean, come on, gang. It's the police.
Yeah.
What do
you expect?
So she does find one single federal policeman who recognizes that Miriam's game. He's like, she's got some moves.
She's fucking working it.
And he was truly inspired. And he couldn't believe how much info she'd gotten, how thorough she'd been. I was like, I bet he's like, I don't know if all that was legal.
Yeah. So. Go ahead and keep that hush hush.
Good stuff.
Yeah. He's like, you're acting like a true cop. None of that was legal. Perfect.
Yeah, for real. Well, no, a true cop would never put in this much effort.
That's true. So. For somebody else, for some
true. No, I mean, for not. Something that affects them, true. So, and he saw that she attempted to contact everybody and got nothing. So with his help, the government finally issues an arrest warrant. And luckily for him, the wheel of justice turned very slowly, so he just fucked off. And while waiting for him to show up, she goes back to her sleuthing and finds more members of the gang. So in September 2014, her living son is closing up shop in Victoria when his last customer of the day is none other than fucking Salma himself. And I'm like, you're out here killing people, walking in their family's fucking business.
Dude,
you don't even know, dude.
Balls, bro.
You fucking stupid idiot. Piece of shit. Posting your picture on Facebook and walking around in their family's businesses.
So
you
dumb.
Fucking moron. So he follows him out of the store careful style, calls his mom. The mom gets the police on the horn, and they arrest his ass in the town square while he whines and bitches. And he squeals when they interrogate him.
There it is.
I was like, dude, oh, God, I gotta be honest. The Mexican police interrogation has got to be not good.
Gotta be brutal.
I don't feel like that's above board at all.
No.
They are definitely gonna pull your fingernails off.
Yeah.
So, Saba leads them to arrest an 18-year-old who's asking where his mommy is, and he's hungry. And the in the fucking jail, and the Miriam is a mom through and through, so she fucking feeds him. And the police, what the fuck are you doing? We're gonna torture him forever. Why would you feed him?
Why would you do
that? And she's like, I'm not a fucking savage. Yeah. And the 18-year-old eventually tells the police everything, obviously because the mommy just fed him. Like, yeah, a little boy.
And, like, immediately regressed and was like,
okay. Yeah, oh yeah. So he's like, she did it. Yeah. So he tells them everything. He tells how the operation works, where the bodies are buried. Police go to that spot. Dude, this 18-year-old's already like, yeah, I remember where the massacre was.
Yeah, dude, fuck
it. Oh, my God. So the police go to the spot, and it turns out it was where Mexican Marines had recently gotten in a gunfight with six of the accomplices, killing all of them, which is awesome. You know, you're like, that's great.
Yeah. God damn.
I know, dude. They're like, oh, yeah, this spot, we've actually
like, hey, this spot. Whoa, memories.
We just killed people here. So the spot has bullet holes, bones, shards, a hanging noose, stacks of personal belongings. Fucking, like, gruesome goddamn dump site. Miriam eventually finds a scarf there owned by Karen. Although the qualified Mexican authorities said at first that Karen wasn't there, Miriam fights it for the next year, and then eventually a group of scientists ends up finding Karen's femur and confirming that she was there. So apparently she pissed off a lot of the officials in this drive because she was like, I don't believe you. Yeah. You're fucking stupid. And they said because of her, quote, foul language and pugnacious manner. But they all begrudgingly admitted their respect for her drive and mission. Like, this bitch got some.
Like, yeah, like I said, sure. If there's any way, if they're the best way to piss off incompetent people in power is to tell them
is that do their job.
Do their job and tell them they're incompetent. They do not like that.
They're like, how dare you?
Yeah, I'm offended.
I deserve respect for being horrible.
Yeah.
As they're poking around this horror show, Miriam realizes that she had actually eaten at a restaurant that was near this spot just 2 days after Karen had been kidnapped. At the time, she'd asked a childhood friend of hers who was there, like that she'd known for years and years. She's like, had you heard anything about Karen? And the friend was like, no idea. I don't even know what you're talking about. But like everyone had known something, like Karen was missing.
Yeah.
So it was crazy for her to not even know about that
shit. Yeah, at all.
And so, you know, Miriam's at the fucking crime site, digging through, doing good detective work, I'm sure. And she's like, I remember where I was just 2 days after she was missing. And it was just right over there. And she was fucking there. So she goes and goes back home, does some more sleuthing, and finds that that woman had been romantically involved with one of the kidnappers who was currently in prison for an unrelated thing.
Damn.
Dude, I was like, oh my God, dude, she was fucking digging this shit out.
I would shoot that lady.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Oh. So Miriam stakes out the prison for a wait for her to show up and then gets her ass arrested, the police discovering that some of the ransom calls had even come from her house.
Damn. And I'm
like, this was her childhood friend.
Damn, dude. I'd kill you.
Murdered her daughter. Oh my God. I know. So Miriam keeps hard charging. Mission's going. She's finding more and more as the months go on and the trail's getting colder. She talks down one dude's abuela, finds his grandma, and she's like, oh, yeah, he sucks, but at least he's a church-going man now. And Miriam's like, where's that church at? And
yeah, so yeah.
So Miriam starts going to the church for a while, stakes it out, gets his ass arrested there in front of the parishioners. Hell yeah,
shame.
The people inside were stunned, even going so far as to ask for mercy, and I'm like,
fuck you. Fuck you. Death is your fucking mercy. Death is your mercy.
He's a fucking goon. He's killed people. He's a monster. He killed a child. Like, whatever. So Miriam's actions inspired others in the state to fight back, to entreat the government with a pressure campaign and cause others to organize. Miriam, meanwhile, keeps at it. There was another man who'd tried to start over as a florist. She spends her days staking out him on a bridge where she knew that he was working. If she sees him, she gets too close. He starts to run. Miriam, 56, runs this man down, grabs him by the shirt, and jams a revolver in his back.
Hell yeah.
Dude.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God, they need her on the force.
That is
so
a capable
bad.
Woman. That is a capable woman.
Tells him if he moves, he dies. She waits there for an hour for the police to arrive.
Damn. That tracks. Only an hour, huh? All right.
They're like, maybe if we wait really long, she'll something get bored. Bad will happen. So one of the last on our list was this young woman who had been involved in this. She stakes out the girl's family home for days, pissing in cups in her car.
Hell yeah.
Even her one time her car fucking, or like battery dies, she's got to get like sneak jumped by her brother or by her son. And so she finally spots her. A woman gets arrested. She's running up to the arrest and cracks her foot, which is, I know, she puts her in a cast. Over 3 years, Mrs. Rodriguez captured nearly every living member of the crew, 10 people in total, almost completely by herself.
That lady did more police
cartel
work.
Cartel thugs.
Yeah,
dude.
That lady did more police work than the average police officer did in their entire life.
Well, their career. This would be a career making case. Yeah. That she just knocked out of the park.
Did it.
Dude.
She was like, yeah, all right.
So, do you want the rest of the story, or do you like how it ends right there? Is that nice?
I'm going to go ahead and assume it's not going to end great. I can nice maybe ending. Maybe predict how it's going to go down, but go on.
So if you guys liked how that ends, you could stop here.
Stop there.
And I recommend going to see Dune 2.
And I recommend watching Spaceman, and we'll see you guys next week. Be safe. Be kind to, yeah. Be kind to yourself. Bye-bye. All right, go
okay.
on.
Okay, so now that the babies are gone. So 2 weeks prior to that young woman getting nabbed, there was a prison break at the prison where many of the daughter's kidnappers were.
Not good.
20 men escaped.
Not good.
I assume a Mexican-style cartel prison break involves them walking out of the open fucking front gates.
Yeah, they have machine guns.
So on Mother's Day 2017 at 10:21 p.m., a white Nissan truck pulls up on her, walking in her cast to her home, and shoots her fucking 13 times.
Damn.
The government arrested a couple of the culprits and killed another, obviously.
Naturally. They're going to get theirs.
Her son was obsessed with the murders, but he learned a lesson and realized he could only push it too far, and he was careful not to make the same mistakes as his mom, and he chose to drop it instead of, you know, dying. The Mexican president at the time, Enrique Nieto, did not comment on the murder because he was responding to tweets from Leonardo DiCaprio about protection for an endangered porpoise.
As one does.
A month after her death, using information that she provided, the police find the last free suspect of Karen's kidnapping, the woman who had beaten Karen while she was in custody. And that's unfortunately the story of Miriam Rodriguez, a powerful woman who inspired others for justice.
Yeah, what a badass bitch, dude. God
damn. Running the dude down with a gun.
I'm like,
Mexico's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. You can just do that. And then hold him there for an hour. The police are like, all right, thanks. All right, we got it. Come on.
Oh, my God. Your shit would be rocked in America. That
woman did more fucking police work than most police officers do in their entire career.
We should citizens arrest billionaires.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
Wait for them to take a trip to Mexico and then fucking citizen arrest them at gunpoint.
Dude, actually, I'm kind of afraid of what billionaire bodyguards do in a
city. That's true. The street does go both
like,
ways.
Oh my God, they have an RPG.
Yeah.
We're in a busy street. Yeah. Using all right. RPG.
All right. No fucking collateral damage care at all. Do not give a shit.
No.
That was a good story. Yeah, that was really good.
It was a really good story. It was hard to find. It took me a while to find some good info about it, but I did end up finding some good stuff. She was very legit, but I don't know what message to take from it. Like, should you do what she did? Fight for justice?
I mean,
or you know, because in a failed state, like, you pretty much always just would die. Like, that's this situation favors them just being killed.
She did what she believed was right and what was right, and she did it till her death. She fucking put her life on the line for it, and sometimes that's what happens. I mean, you got to take those risks.
Do you think people should do it? Is that what you're saying?
Do I think people should
fight the fight like that to your inevitable doom?
To your inevitable doom?
Yes.
I think every cause needs some martyrs, but I think it's not necessarily a viable option.
It's not a sustainable option.
No, sustainable option, yeah. But I do have, you know, a lot of respect for her and what she did, knowing that this was probably how it was going to end.
I think she did right by her daughter's memory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I think that she did.
Because otherwise she would, like, and it's not like any disrespect to anyone else not willing to do it.
But yeah,
it's
no, like, not at
otherwise,
all.
Otherwise, she's just another disappeared body.
Another statistic.
To anyone who did anything to it.
And,
you know?
And she did the best case scenario for her daughter that she could have possibly done. That's just how it is.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah. Other.
I mean, sure, nah. There's really no
way else. I was like,
no
maybe except
else.
For running for president. I was like, honestly, the president would probably be way worse.
Way worse. Way fucking worse. But yeah, that was a really good story.
So we did do our recommendations.
Yeah.
Those are real, though. You
those are real recommendations.
Well, you really see Dune, too?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Also, did you see that headline? I wanted to talk about this, and I forgot earlier. That there was like a $1.5 billion funding for they're going to make America's tallest skyscraper. Can you guess where it's going to be?
Why? I'm sorry.
It's gonna. Is it? Can gonna, you guess where it's going to be?
It's going to be some fucking dumb place like Ohio or something like
it's
that.
Oklahoma
no
City.
No shit. So some fucking dumb place.
The tallest building.
That's. Stupid.
In OKC, dude.
That's the worst place to
You'll be able to see that thing from like 4 miles away.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Why? For what? Just to make the tallest building?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking boners.
It's supposed to be like a hotel and apartment and whatever. But, you know. I was like, is Oklahoma's... is Oklahoma City population density so high that they need... to expand vertically 2,000 feet into the sky.
Yeah, we'll see how quickly that gets abandoned. But yeah, our recommendations were real. Watch Spaceman. Watch Dune 2. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next weekend. Love you so much. Bye-bye.